So welcome back to Shed End 868 with me, Jesus. So let's dive straight into it one time. So we start off with the under-18s, they're doing the thing still, unbeaten in four. And so right now they're on top of the table with 12 points after four games. And Ed Brand's boys are looking wonderful after a Lewis Flower strike. And a Martha Sile brace ensured that they continued beating the Cruise Pass Birmingham City 3-0 on the 11th. So up next they have Leicester on the 25th. So they're looking to keep this unbeaten momentum going. On the 23s though, they started off wonderful. In the 10th minute, wonderful goal through Harvey Veal, but City was just too much for them. They scored two very, very late goals, coupled with a penalty early in the game and a 24th minute strike, sang the young Blues to their second consecutive defeat, leaving them 12th on 2 points. Next up for Andy Myers and company is the London Derby against Arsenal on the 19th. So we're all hoping for them to get their first win. And I have much faith in Andy to rally these boys up for them to beat Arsenal. I mean, come on. I'm not just saying, oh, it's Arsenal, we could beat them, but the best time to catch back your form is Arsenal. I mean, also the worst time to meet your rival is when you're in a slump, but I have all faith in the under-23s to do their best. Talking about bouncing back, after they lost that highly contested game against Arsenal the last time out, Emma Haynes' ladies rebounded with a resounding 4-0 whooping of Everton. Yes, and resounding. It could have been easily been 6 or 7-0. A Sam Kerr double slotted in between Kirby's looping opening strike, which was a wonderful goal to see by itself, and Bethany England's rebound shot gave the ladies their first win of the season, leaving them 6th after two games, on 3 points. And up next is United Ladies on the 26th of this month. So let's hope they can carry on that momentum into for the rest of the league. Talking about momentum, right now the Women's Champions League first ever group stage was drawn, and Chelsea in Group A, they got the 2013 and 2014 back-to-back Champions League winners Wolfsburg, the Serie A winners Juventus, and Swiss team Servette FC. Yeah, I wonder how I pronounce it properly. Servette, yeah. So they have a record against Wolfsburg that definitely is going to be improved. They played them 9 times, they won 3 times, lost 5, drew once. Their last meeting was, of course, last season in the quarterfinals, winning both legs 2-1 at home and 3-0 in Germany. So, yeah, so they're looking to continue that winning streak we've started on them. They never met Juventus in the Champions League, but they won a preseason against them on the 18th. Not 18th of last month, August 2018, sorry. They won 3-0 that game. They also, first time they're facing, aside from Switzerland, Servette FC. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see the ladies play, see how they come out in this first ever group stage of the Champions League for women. It's exciting times. The first game for the ladies on the Champions League is on the 6th. Of October versus Wolfsburg. The first two teams in the group stages go through and they fall back into line from there. What are we here for right now? The Villa game. Alonso captain. That was a big sign of intent by Tuchel to have a team full of captains, it will look like. Because even after when Jorginho came on, Azpilicueta came on, no one went by him for the ban. Silva did his thing. I'm sorry, Silva. I keep saying Silva for. Alonso did his thing, and it was wonderful. A team full of captains from the front to the back to the middle. Everyone knows their job and marshals it. It's as though each section, front, middle, end, have their own captain, and then we have the captain of the day. Then we have the team captain. Big Rom came back and Alonso captained him for making his Stamford Bridge debut. It's a brace, 10 years in the making. He scored two wonderful goals. First one by a wonderful assist from Kova. More on him in a bit. More on him on a bit. And then that wonderful third goal, which was set up by the remarkable, remarkable movement of Werner, who we'll speak to about as well just now. Right? It was a wonderful overall performance. Some gaps opened up for Villa. Not gonna say it was easy. We won 3-0, but the scoreline doesn't definitely reflect how dangerous it was for us to be down 3-0 in the first half. And the man who saved us, you know, Mendy. Mendy with some huge saves, especially in the first half. He had like 4 saves in the first half, including that wonderful double save coming out to the end, which just cemented his spot, you know, cemented the accolades he got from UEFA as being the goalkeeper of the year. I mean, just a matter of fact, his last 17 shots he faced in the Premier League, the first 4 games, he only conceded 1. And that was from Salah's penalty. So that says a lot about not just our defense, but even if someone manages to get past our defense, it says a lot about the goalkeeper. It says a lot about our goalkeeper. And before I continue, this is just a quick question. Should Kepa be given more game time? You know, seeing that Mendy's going to the African Cup, should Kepa be getting more game time to stay game ready, at least mentally? You know, because, I mean, based on what we've seen in Super Cup, he has no qualms of being game ready at a drop of a hat at moment's notice. But should he be given more game time? Let me know. You know, send me a message, leave me a comment, anything. But back to the Villa game. Yeah, it was a bit shaky in the beginning, like the first, 15, 20 minutes. And then it just switched up. Like in the 15th minute, it's 15 minutes, Kova with that wonderful goal. Sorry, not the goal. Not his goal. The assist. First. Let me speak about the assist first. The assist was like Lampard prime. You know, yes, his first Stamford Bridge goal, you know, he was doing the work of two persons in the midfield. Because Saul had debuted to forget or remember so that you know not to be like that again. And a lot of us fail to remember that Kai wasn't so when he started, was just like that when he started his first game, thrusted in Premier League, he get baptized by fire, and look at him now. He's a fan favorite. When he doesn't play, everybody's like, what Kai is playing for? And we have Saul for a year. Similarly with Kova for a year. And we pull the trigger and say, oh, let him stay. So I'm not doubting. And I don't think any of us will doubt Saul's ability. It's just new league, there's a new intensity, so a new system, everything. So he's definitely going to fall in very, very good at some point in time. Hopefully sooner rather than later. Another big thing about Villa's game is a clean sheet. It's another clean sheet. It's just clean sheet after clean sheet. Just keep rolling. Tuchel even spoke about the getting addicted to winning. It's something that it feels good. It feels good. And to get another clean sheet, this is what? 3 and 4. Third clean sheet in 4 games for the season already. That is wonderful. We can't fight that. We can't. I mean, based on how it's looking so far, we could equal or even, across my fingers and my toes here, even break the 2004-2005 record with Mourinho, 15 goals conceded. And in that season as well, 1 was a penalty and 2 were own goals. Or was it 2 penalties, 1 own goal? Something like that. Remind me now. But yeah, you know, so again, the Villa game showed the importance of having depth. And we have it. Because it was always going to be tough after the international break. You know, it was always going to be one of those games where guys will be playing who played, 4 games, including that game within a week and a half. So you're always going to see tired legs, you know, weary a little. Some people may have experienced a little lackiness, whether it's mentally, whether it's physically, or both. You know, Alonso didn't go, So he was just there. So he was one of the freshest men there. The Chilwell not starting or not even, well, Chilwell not starting so far for the season. Was growing some concern for some from some folks, but I don't see it as an issue. I see it as a chance for him and the team to get better as a whole. Competition breeds better men. So he can only go up from here. Hopefully he would only go up from here. We know Chilwell's character. We know how his character is at Chelsea thus far. And, you know, again, but the importance of depth. I mean, we've seen the importance of J5 coming off the bench. I'm not saying he's supposed to come off the bench alone. Everybody knows where I stand with him. I'm not going to go down that road again. But when he came on at halftime, the whole tempo of the game changed. The whole rhythm of the game changed. Everything, what came through him was dictated by him. The interception that ultimately led to the Lukaku's 23rd goal. You know, and you just saw a stability when he came on. Kovar didn't have to work that much. And it we got into the rhythm that we know. Again, I really hope Saul finds his groove sooner rather than later. And I hope he starts in the Zenith game. But again, ahead of myself. And besides J5, with Werner, the two subs were integral in the third goal. Jorginho breaking up the play. The interception, getting back the ball, recycling it from the back, pass it back, get it back, pass, push it forward, and then Aspilicueta runs forward, passes the ball up top, and Werner makes that diagonal run, two defenders pull with him, Lukaku on his left foot, and the rest is, as they say, history. So, I mean, I would love to see Werner and Lukaku team up. I would just love to see that, how that partnership will look. There's going to be problems. I thought they would have played together in the Liverpool game, but Time will come, time. Only Tuchel will know it's the right time for that. But they looked exceptionally well. And that is something that I know all of us would love to see. To see if Werner gets back into that mood of being what I would spend the money for him. And I feel he would. For both of them, Lukaku likes to play in that kind of partnership. You know, Inter. Well, when he was with the other club in England before he left, he didn't have much chances to do that. But at Inter, he had it with Martinez, and that partnership with bore fruit. With us here now, he has Werner. Havertz could play up there as well too. So it is something that we're definitely gonna see. Right. Now the reason the episode is named 2-1-600 is, well, the two is for Lukaku's brace. You know, I can't leave our big room. I mean, the man came back to Stamford Bridge and just that, he stand up with the by the flag. Just iconic. That's an iconic photo of the bat immediately. He has already gotten that already. And the one is for the one could have been Saul's debut, but I don't wanna pile on him anymore. Because a lot of people have done it. I'm not going to pile on him anymore. Hopefully he's going to get better. But the one is for, honestly, the one is for Kovar's first Stamford Bridge goal. You know, Big Rom scores his first two at Stamford Bridge. Kovar scores his first one at Stamford Bridge. And the 600 is for 600 wins for Chelsea in the EPL. Only the second team to achieve that since the inception of the Premier League. So what does that say about Chelsea? What does that say where it is that where we are right now? Clubs who were quote unquote there before Chelsea, they're not here. There's a coupe right now, there's only a seat for two. There's a two seat up here. You know, we are here now. When the others reach, we'll see, we will even study about them anymore. We not take them on. We'll reach that when we reach that. But 2-1-600, that's what it is. Big Rums 2, Kovar's 1. Chelsea 600. That's a milestone in itself, and that should be celebrated. I don't know how come it wasn't celebrated as much as I thought it would have, but it's a great achievement. A very, very great. So up next we have Zenit today. We have Zenit St. Petersburg today, and back to the question what I asked the QQ. I think Kepa should start today. I think Saul should start today as well. Give Werner a run out, Mount run out, and the fellas, you know, get back a little game fitness, a little game ready. Not looking at Zenit as a pushover team, I'm just saying, you know, we have the depth, we have the ability to switch it up. Not as often as other teams, but we have the ability. And I'm not saying that not as much as other teams. I mean, Tuchel not overthinking the process, you know, of who to play. That's what I mean. And, you know, let these guys get back match fit. Because after the 14th, after today's game, we have Spurs on the 19th. It's a London derby. That is a big game. You know, as a must win game for Spurs to catch back their rhythm, and for us, just for us to keep cementing where we are right now. You know, so we gotta, although Spurs are going through their thing defensively and in midfield right now, we can't look at that. We have to do what we gotta do. We have to do what we have to do in order to reach to the summit when they come May next year for both sides. You know. So that's it. The Zenit game, I would like to see my 11 would be Kepa in goal, Rudiger, Chalaban, Christiansen, Chilwell, James, Saul, Kante and Pulisic is not going. So Saul, Jorginho, yeah. Or Saul, but if Saul Cover, maybe, because Saul has the experience playing in the Champions League, sorry, in Europe. So I'll see that there. Up on top, Werner, Havertz, Mount, or Werner, Mount, Hakim, any combination of those four would work for me. So that's how I would like to see the team line up. Definitely like to see how they get these guys somewhere, you know. Some game time, because I mean, when you look at the team we have, we have Mendy to the back and the post. But my pick will be Silva, just for this conversation here. Silva, can I choose between Kovar, Jorginho, Kante in the middle, and then you have Lukaku on top? It mirrors the parallels are there for Cech, Terry, Lampard, Drogba, and I don't think there's any denying with that. We have their parallel there. And that's why I was speaking about the 2004-2005 record. What we went on to do that season is it took years, almost decades, to be even matched and broken. But one thing we know is not going to be broken, so it can't be broken by us, is the goals conceded, the 15 goals. So I definitely hope that you could keep that rhythm and break that record, or at least equal it, you know, at least equal it. But to do that, we have to have teams similar. And we see any parallels with this bunch here. Lukaku just came in, like, you know, when you finish, when you build that puzzle, you have one piece remaining and you see it right there in the middle, smack dead in the middle. It's not end piece, not corner piece, right in the dead center. When you rest it, and you just get a force and it snaps in perfectly, everything just, you know, it just comes together. And like Tuchel is like Hannibal from A-Team. You just love it when a plan comes together, and that's what we're seeing here right now, you know. And now before I leave you here and we go and watch this Champions League game, it have a lot of clubs like to talk, fans like to run them out and talk about things that the club did and when they did and this year at this time. But that's all they could do. They could just relive history. That's all they have. Don't let that beat you up. You know what we have? We in it right now. We live in it right now. We watching it unfold before our very eyes. You understand? We are seeing Van Gogh paint. That's what we here right now, 2021, looking at. What is what we're seeing? These are the kind of things that we're seeing. We're seeing the Wright brothers, their first flight. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing that. We're seeing history being made. It's unfolding in front of our eyes. And to quote Jim Carrey from Bruce Almighty, it is B-E-A-utiful. That's what it is. it is something to look at. It's something to cherish. And not just with what Tuchel's doing. What has been happening. We have seen a direction the club has been going in. Some players have been missed, but most of the times they've been hits. So as I leave you, remember the color, blue. Remember the game, football. But never, never, and always remind those who like to run them out, remind them of the name, Chelsea. So, as I leave you again, remember to be safe. I don't know, I can't remember what I was going to say there, you know, but just be safe, all right? Just be safe out there. Let's enjoy the football. And hopefully soon we'll all get to sit together and watch a match. Yeah. So until next time, I'm out.